Bring you greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, as we have assembled here to worship together. I trust that we have hearts that are desiring to hear the truth and to never let it go. I appreciated that devotional thought this morning, and it was a challenge to me to make sure that I don't let go the truth of God's word. The message that I want to share this morning is one that we have seen over the years, having been left go by some people. I'm thankful this morning that we can look into God's word and be challenged in our own lives. Message title is The Ordinance of the Devotional Covering. As I look out across the sister side of the church this morning, I'm thankful for what I see. And I do believe that we have a practice that is being taught and is being promoted. But we have around us, in churches around us, in families, in the world around us today, we have the challenge of allowing this practice and the thought and the all-encompassing things behind it to slip away from us. As I prepared for this message, I asked a few young sisters why they wear the covering. And I was thankful that none of them said, because the church says so. Most of them gave the answer, because the Bible says so. I was glad for that. But sisters and brothers this morning, we need to remember why the Bible says so. We need to understand the principles and the meanings behind why we do things. Because the Bible says so is a good reason. And obedience to God's word is never optional. And it's a good reason to practice it. But why does God require that of the sisters? And that's what we want to look into this morning and understand why God has asked that of his children. I must admit that I didn't have enough of courage to ask any women why they don't wear the covering. That thought crossed my mind, and I had opportunity to do that a time or two. I just didn't have enough courage. There's a few things we want to look at this morning as we look at the devotional covering. And as I wrote the title of the message, the one question came to my mind, and that is, we have a couple different names for the covering. One of it is devotional covering, prayer covering, a headship veiling. Are those all correct terminologies? And I'm not going to necessarily spend a lot of time on that, but I believe as we go through the message, we may answer some of that question. Another question that came to my mind is, Is the covering just a sign? And if covering is just a sign, then does size matter? If it is to be a covering, what is it to cover? I want to look at those things as we go through this message. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to take time to read the verses here where Paul explains the idea of the covering. And I believe from this passage of Scripture, we could very consistently say that the name of the item that our sisters wear on their head should be a headship veiling. But I believe that it involves a lot more than that. But let's read these verses. 1 Corinthians 11, begin reading at verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. There's many different arguments, there's many different challenges to the headship veiling in the world today and in churches today. And I could spend a lot of time this morning raising those arguments and then pointing to Scripture to defeat those arguments. And I'm not going to take the time to do a lot of that. I will be touching on some of those as I go through the message. But I do have some questions that I'm going to be asking you as a congregation this morning. I realize that it's warm. I realize that it's a day when you could easily nod off. But I told my wife last evening, I said, I think the message this morning is going to be a little bit more like a Sunday school class. I'm going to be asking some questions. And I'm going to be asking these questions to challenge your thinking, to get you to think. But I'm also going to be asking these questions because I want some of you to give some answers to these questions. Give me your thoughts. So I'm going to be asking for a response as we go through this message this morning. I do realize that many times the one thought that is raised in relation to the covering is the fact that in verse 15 it says that the hair, for her hair is given her for a covering, and a lot of people say, well, that's the covering that is being talked about. I would like to point out at the beginning of the message that there are two different coverings that are being spoken about in this passage of Scripture. And I am no Greek scholar, but I do lean heavily on the Strong's Concordance, which I believe is true and right. I believe that it gives a proper definition for the words that we have, and that the word that is often translated covered, or let her be covered, is a different word than what is used in verse 15 when it talks about the hair is given her for a covering. The one is specifically a special covering to cover wholly, or to veil or hide. And the word in verse 15 is to wrap around, or to be cast around, or to be thrown around a person, such as a shawl or blanket or whatever. And I believe we need to recognize that the arguments that are presented in the nominal Christian circles today are arguments that we are going to face. And it is important that we know the truth, and we understand the truth, and we know why we practice what we practice, in order for us to be able to withstand the arguments that would tend to lead us astray. Now, the first question I would like to ask, and I'm going to ask this of the brethren's side, I'm going to ask the question, are you convinced that your wife and daughters need to wear the covering to be obedient to God's word? Are you convinced of that, Brother Paul? Yes. I saw a lot of you nodding your head. Brethren, if we are convinced of that, if that is our conviction, if that is our persuasion, if we really believe that the only way that our sisters can be obedient to this part of the Word of God is to wear the covering, wear the headship veiling, then it falls on our shoulders to be an example. First of all, in our obedience to our head. Verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Brethren, we want our sisters to wear the headship veiling in obedience to the head. How obedient are we to our head? Are we being examples to our sisters, to our wives, to our daughters, in what it means to be obedient to the head, Jesus Christ and God? Now you might say, well, what does that have to do with the headship veiling? I believe it has a lot to do with it. I believe if we are not the example in obedience to the head, then we are doing our sisters a disservice and making it harder for them to comply to the headship veiling. I believe another area that we need to be an example in as brethren is that we need to take our place in headship, leadership, and love. And I realize that this is not a home message. I realize that it's not a husband-wife message, but I believe that we cannot look at the headship veiling without realizing what our part is as brethren. Because this passage of Scripture addresses the man as well as the woman. And we as brethren are called to be leaders. We are called to take the place of the head in the home, in the church, and we are called to do that in love. And if we fail in those areas, and I'm going to touch this again at the end of the message, but if we fail in those areas, we are making a mockery of what we're expecting our sisters to wear. Because we are not being obedient in the headship order. It is then our responsibility, brethren, for the teaching and for the practice of the headship veiling. What does the covering signify? I'm opening that up to both sides. I want some of your thoughts. What does the covering signify? Supposed to signify a submissive woman is what you said. Okay. Any other thoughts? Philip.
Also, it signifies the acknowledging God's plan or God's plan for mankind.
Okay. Signifies the plan of God in the order of headship. Esther. Signifies protection. James, did you have a thought? Signifies that Christ is the head of the church. I appreciate these answers. I believe that as we look at the covering and we look at what it signifies, I believe it's going to help us to understand why we need to continue the practice. But as we look at the covering that our sisters wear, I believe that in some respects it becomes kind of a part of their dress. That's how our sisters look. And we look at them and we don't even think about it sometimes, or many times. But I believe as we see our sisters side by side with people of the world, it should stand out to us very much. And it should cause us to stop and think, why does my daughter wear that cap on her head when all these other people around her don't? I believe, as was mentioned, the covering signifies submission to her head. Sisters, this morning, I'm thankful that as you sit here, you have a veiled head. I'm thankful that you have committed yourself to wearing the headship veiling. Not just because the church says so, but because the Bible says so. But I believe as you wear the headship veiling, you should recognize that by that you are saying that you are willing to submit yourself to your head. And the Bible tells us that the order of headship is God, Christ, man, and woman. And submitting to your head means that you are going to be submissive to the headship that God has set up upon this earth, and that is the man. In today's world, that is looked upon as repression. It's looked upon as the man trying to suppress and to hold down and put at a lower level the woman. And there are women today who have made it their purpose to change that whole aspect and to prove that a woman is every bit as good as a man, and that the man has no right to have authority over the woman. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm afraid that the reason that the world has come to this point is because man has not been taking his proper place. In one respect, they are correct. And that is that man has no right to have authority over a woman. And you might say, hold up, preacher. But let me go on to clarify that and say that man in himself has no right to have authority over the woman. It's only the man in his place in the headship under Jesus Christ that has any right to have authority over the woman. I believe we need to recognize that all authority is given by God, and that all authority on this earth is under authority, and that is the authority of God. And if we are willing as men to find our place in that order of headship, then we can have women that are willing to submit. And I believe this morning that our sisters will find it a lot easier to be submissive to their head and to live out in practical life what they're showing by the sign of the head, of the veiled head, if they have brethren, if they have men, if they have husbands, if they have fathers who are submitting to their head. Obedience and devotion to their head is another thing that the covering signifies. And I believe it's a shame for women to wear the headship veiling and to be disobedient to what it means. I've seen women that have had a fair-sized covering on their head and be very disrespectful and very disobedient and very unsubmissive to their head. God does not expect us, or God does not want us, to uphold one part of the word apart from another part. And we can look at things and we can say, we can look at sisters can look at themselves, or we can look at sisters and we can say, they're wearing a nice covering. They're wearing a nice headship veiling. Is that all it takes to be obedient to this passage of Scripture? Is that all it takes to be obedient to the Word of God? Brothers and sisters, this morning, together, we need to recognize the fact that devotion, obedience, submission are a part of what this means. What does the covering signify? Mr. Esther said, power. And I believe it is very true It is a sign of power. Verse 10 says, "For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels." Why does it say that? Why does Paul bring that in? Why does he mention that? I believe this morning that the physical covering, the physical headship veiling that you sisters wear this morning is a symbol to the spirit world around you. It is not just so that we as men can look at you and say, "Yes, you are a submissive woman." But it is so that the angels, and I would remind you that just as well as there are angels of God, there are fallen angels too. There are angels that followed Satan, followed Lucifer in rebellion against God. And those angels can look upon you and say, that is a woman that believes and practices God's word and fears God. There's power there. There's power that probably we don't fully understand. But I have heard of experiences, and it may not have been totally because of the covering, the headship veiling, but I believe it was somewhat because of that. It was may have been because of the way they were dressed. But I read a book about a man that was very sinful, very evil, very corrupt in the early years of his life. Lived in the city of New York. He was a leader, maybe not the leader, but he was very high up in a gang. And he observed, he and some of his gang members observed a group of Mennonite people walking through the town. And some of his group said, "They look like easy targets. Let's take them out." And he said, "No." He said, "We can't take them out." And they asked him why. And he said, "Don't you see those caps on the ladies' heads?" He said, "We can't take them out." I don't know what he knew about it at that point, but he recognized it as a power that was greater than the power that he had. I'm not saying that God is always going to protect. I know of instances where God didn't physically protect, and I don't fully understand that either. But I believe there's lessons there for us today, spiritual and physical protection. Okay, we talk about the covering, we talk about the veiling, we had different terminology for it. As I asked in the beginning, what is it covering? If it is a covering, if it is a veil, what is it covering? Is it just a sign? Anyone have thoughts? Brother Phil?
The glory of the hair.
The glory of the hair.
Harper's hair, long hair.
What's that, Ed?
Covers her long hair.
Any other thoughts? It's both. It's a symbol and a covering, or a sign and a covering. I like that answer because I think we need to be convinced of the fact that it is a sign, but we also need to be convinced of the fact, brothers and sisters, that it is a covering. And that it is to cover the hair which is given to the woman as a glory for her. And I'm going to get blunt this morning. And I'm going to say some things that maybe you didn't think about, and maybe you did. You probably did. But I believe that the covering the glory of the woman's hair, speaks to us of two things, probably more, but two things in particular. The covering is to cover the glory of the woman, which is her hair, so as not to draw attention to herself, but to draw attention to her head. God says, verse 15, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. And we see the world displaying that glory. And we see the world making a mockery of that and cutting their hair and doing all kinds of weird things. But the long hair is given for the glory of the woman. But she is not to use that glory to draw attention to herself. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'd just like to look at this verse just to draw our attention to this fact. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. He's talking here about the woman, the wives, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. It's interesting to me that the hair here is referenced, the adorning is referenced in the same context as wearing of gold and putting on of apparel. And I believe this morning that God required the woman's hair, her glory, to be covered to not draw attention to herself. And just as well as he requires the body to be covered. We know that a woman's form and body is designed to draw attention, and the world is using it as that today. So I believe that the covering helps to draw attention to the woman's head, and that is Jesus Christ through the man. It draws attention to something else rather than the woman herself. How many times when you're out in public, sisters, have people looked at you and maybe even asked you, maybe not so much in this area because everybody knows what it means, but if you go out in another area where it's not so commonly known, have people looked at you and maybe even ask you, why are you wearing that cap on your head? It draws attention away from you to God. So we can understand that the covering is a part of modesty. And I believe that as we look at that and we reckon with that fact, we must conclude that just as well as it's important to have the proper dress so as not to draw attention to our bodies. It's important to have the proper covering so as not to draw attention to the glory that God has given you, but to allow it to draw glory to Him. How many of you sisters, older sisters, remember the time when it was Mennonite fad to comb the hair down over the ears? How many of you sisters remember that? I see one of you that are raising your hands or smiling. In my growing up years, that was the common thing. And us boys kind of secretly among ourselves referred to it as earmuffs. Because there was some girls that, you know, really had a thick pile of hair combed down across their ears. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you bring it down across your ears, you bring it down across your forehead, you bring it down across your neck. If the covering is not covering your hair, it is not doing what it's designed to do. It is not doing what God asked you to do with the covering. If you are still combing your hair to draw attention to yourself, the covering is not doing what God wants it to do. You are going against what is being taught in the Bible. And I believe this morning that every one of us has a part to play in maintaining the practice of the headship veiling. All of life needs to fall in line with the meaning of the covering. We cannot, men or women, cannot disregard God's commands and expect our sisters to continue to wear a proper headship veiling. If we as men decide that there are certain things that we don't need to do and we're going to rebel against God and we're not going to do it, what right do we have to tell our sisters they need to continue to wear the headship veiling? Men need to portray the life of obedience to God as well, or the covered woman is mocked. It's as simple as that. Both men and women have a responsibility in maintaining a life that parallels the practice. I believe you and I this morning stand in danger of losing the practice of the headship veiling if we lose obedience to God in our everyday life.